providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these final two segments, I'm replaying an interview that we had earlier in the week with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisors, as well as the lead editor over at the Gold Eagle website. Now, this interview was posted on Tuesday. You're going to hear some of the key excerpts from this interview. It ran over 30 minutes due to weekend showtime restrictions on the radio. We can't play it all, but on our website, the full interview will be replayed. You can also go to that Tuesday posting to view the chart that we are talking about, at least in the first segment here. The first chart that we are focusing on is the Dow to Gold ratio. Christopher is going to take us through what he's seeing in the chart and what it means for the long-term trends for gold and for the Dow. We're going to get right into it now. So this is what Christopher had to say about this Dow gold ratio.
Yeah, thank you so much, Corey and Shad, for having me back on the show. Let's talk about this. This is, in my opinion, aside from the 42-year breakdown in the U.S. bond market that we've seen recently, this is the most important macro signal that is setting up across the markets that will impact every investor for the remainder of the 2020s easily and quite possibly through most of the 2030s. That's how significant this breakout or breakdown in the Dow to gold ratio is going to be, whichever way it resolves. So let's talk about this for a moment. Of course, we're talking about how many ounces of gold it takes to buy one share in every company in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Now, before I go any further, I just want to mention for people, you know, I've been involved in the precious metals sector since 2007, doing a lot of private investing back in the 2010s. I launched the public version of this business, the newsletter, the videos, in 2015, pretty close to the bottom that we had at 1,045 per ounce. And the only reason that I give this backdrop is that my business is aligned with higher metals prices. I will benefit if the metals prices move higher. So when you hear me say things that may be waving a red flag as to the possibility of what's going to happen with the metals, please know that it's not because anyone's paying me to do so. I'm not a precious metals basher. I would benefit if the metals go higher, but I have made a decision in my career to align foremost with the markets. I'd rather upset some people with what I say, but to align with the markets and be on the right side of the trend, that's the most important thing for me going forward, just as a backdrop. So when we look at the Dow to gold ratio, which bottomed in the year 1980, at a one-to-one level. In other words, the Dow was 850 points. Gold reached $850 per ounce. It then started rising for 20 years up to the peak of the NASDAQ bubble, where the level hit 45. So the Dow outpaced gold by 45x over 20 years. From 99-2000, back to the peak of precious metals in 2011, when gold topped at 1920 per ounce, that ratio compressed from 45 down to 6. So you had the Dow losing almost 85% of its value relative to gold in that period. Then outperformance by the Dow again into 2018. But what's interesting is that from the bottom in gold in December of 2015, gold bottomed at 1,045 per ounce, which is when I launched the public version of the business that I now run. From that moment, December of 2015, through the present, even as gold prices nearly doubled into the most recent peak, they doubled from just above 1,000 to just above 2,000, the Dow to gold ratio actually moved sideways for that entire 7-year period. And so what that tells you is even as the gold price doubled, the Dow Jones Industrial Average also doubled. Now, that setup, that dynamic where you have gold prices rising strongly, almost doubling, even while the ratio moves sideways, that has only happened one other time in the history of freely traded gold. This is it. There is no other data to refer to. The only other time that that happened was from the period of 1985 to 1987, where after the peak in gold in the year 1980 at 850 per ounce, it then fell down to 1985 around 300 per ounce. From 85 to 87, gold rose from 300 per ounce to 500 per ounce. Again, almost doubling. In that period of time, the Dow to gold ratio actually moved slightly upward in favor of the Dow. So even as gold prices almost doubled back then, 85 to 87, the Dow performed better in relative terms. And the result of that after 87 was that gold prices moved lower. Gold entered a bear market from 87 until 1999. So it was a 12-year bear market after the only other time in publicly available trading history that we've seen the same signal that we've just seen here. The only difference being this signal has lasted about twice as long, actually almost three times as long as that previous signal from the 1980s. So this is a major red flag that's been developing for the precious metals markets over the last couple of years. And please remember what I said at the very beginning. Nothing would please me more than for this signal to be wrong and for gold to simply break out here and enter the next leg up of its bull market, because then my entire business and many of my personal investments will do much better. But unfortunately, the history here is against the precious metals. And for that matter, if that's going to be the case, if this is going to be a time where the precious metals underperform, if this convergence that you see, Corey, on the Dow to gold ratio over these last 10 or so years, this converging triangle, you can see it with the magenta, the 42-year trend rising in favor of the of gold, meeting with a 22-year trend, which has been compressing in favor of gold. I meant to say the longer-term trend is in favor of the Dow. That convergence is going to break out strongly and decisively in one direction or the other. It's not going to simply continue to move sideways as it's done for the last 7 years. And when that thing breaks out, we're going to have a signal. It's either going to be gold, or it's gold and the precious metals, or it's going to be the Dow Jones and mainstream stocks that are going to outperform for the remainder of the 2020s easily and quite likely into the 2030s. And this is going to be one of those macro signals that investors are going to want to align with, no matter what they hope or wish or believe in their hearts. They're going to want to align with the charts here. And it doesn't mean, for example, if this breaks above 20, which is that declining blue line, right, in favor of gold. If this breaks out, in other words, it's going to break out, let's say, in favor of the Dow, it doesn't mean you plow 100% of your money into, you know, Tesla and Facebook and Amazon stock. It doesn't mean you have to do crazy stuff like that and to sell all your physical metals. But what it does mean is that you want to take a significant portion of your risk capital and start aligning with things that are going to be needed more by industry. This could even be things like battery metals, energy complex, you know, cobalt, nickel, lithium, things like that. It would tell you if we get this breakout in the Dow to gold in favor of Dow, it's telling you that industry is going to thrive for the remainder of the 2020s and monetary assets are going to underperform. That's what we want to watch very closely for over the next 18 months is when we should get a resolution to this.
Well, Christopher, I really appreciate you sharing this with our audience, this chart, and breaking it down for us. And it's going to be fascinating to see over the next year, 2 years, how this chart does resolve. Nothing is carved in stone quite yet, but history as our guide, it's not a super bullish signal for gold thus far, since there's not a big history of gold outperforming the Dow, except for that short period you mentioned from 85 to 87. So we'll keep our eyes on that, but let's maybe dial things down to more of a more near term or medium term and look at gold and look at silver technically and see if there may still be a little hope for the precious metals bulls out there. I guess let's maybe start with gold. Is there any key technical levels that you're watching to see if we may have, in fact, just recently bottomed and started to make a new leg higher, or is there more pain in store in the yellow metal?
Yeah, so there is a very clear set of technical resistance levels that I'm watching here for near-term bullish or bearish. If gold can give us 2 weekly closes above the recent swing peak from last week, which was 1,786 in the spot market, slightly higher in the futures market, but 2 weekly closes above that last swing peak, that peak just above 1780 is a confluence of intermediate term resistance dating back from the peak in 2020 and also a very important broken trend dating back from 2018. So if gold can somehow muster the buying pressure to eclipse 1786 for dual weekly closes, it would tell me that that red flag scenario that I'm saying is a possibility now is simply not going to manifest within the near future. Could be a few years from now. Maybe there's another strong leg higher to come from gold first. So 1786 is the trigger for a major new up leg. I think that would take gold above those recent peaks of 2075. Anything, any failure of that and any sort of grinding here and just rounding over is a bearish signal. I don't necessarily have a lower target for gold at this time. The most frustrating thing could be that if we fail to eclipse that 1786, it could just be a slugfest. It could just be a grind for the next couple of years, kind of drifting a little bit, these little fake rallies and drifting. That would be my outlook for the bearish scenario here over the intermediate term.
Christopher, are you relating any of the recent action in gold to any of the past bear markets? A lot of people are looking back to that 2011, 2012 time frame when gold moved down and then it moved sideways for years.
Yeah, that is a super interesting comparison that I have spent many hours studying with a fine-tooth comb here over the last couple months. When we saw the breakdown below 1680, 1680 had been a key support level going back for the last 2 years. It had been tested on about five or six separate times dating back to 2020. When we saw that breakdown on the surface level, that looked very similar to what you're talking about, Corey, that breakdown that we saw in April of 2013. It's just that it was a different trigger level that gold fell through back then in 2013. It was 1525. So when I saw the breakdown from 1680 this time, I was looking at that similar breakdown following the 2011 peak, and I was saying, is this going to be the same thing? Is this about to be an utter washout here lasting for a number of years? And I went back and I really looked at that time period in 2013. And just for reference, when gold broke that similar two-year support back in 2013, it fell by $240 following the breakdown point, which, by the way, was already $400 off the peak. But from the breakdown point at 1525, gold fell by $240 in 48 hours after the breakdown. And then, as you said, Corey, that led to about another three-year grinding decline after that. So when I saw this breakdown below 1680, which is the analogous support here just a couple months ago, I was saying, I mean, is this about to fall, let's say, from 1680 down to 1440 within the next 2 days? And what happened is gold showed me something different. And I always try to stay open to let the market show me what it's going to do. I formulate a thesis and then I say, hey, market, either prove or disprove my thesis. Gold actually recovered that breakdown point here over the last just over the last few weeks. And so in and of itself, what that shows me is that even though you had a very similar pattern as following the 2011 peak, there is very different behavior here that has manifested following the breakdown. So someone has stepped into the gold market. It's probably a sovereign wealth fund or a central bank has stepped into the gold market above 1620, the most recent lows, and started to make some purchases. Now, central banks or sovereign wealth funds, they're not all-knowing. We all know the famous example of Gordon Brown selling the Prime Minister of England selling most of England's gold into the lows in 1999. So they certainly are not all-knowing entities, and they make mistakes. But I will tell you this, the behavior of gold following that breakdown, similar to following the 2011 peak, has been different this time, which tells me it's not going to be that same washout as following 2011. But what it still could be, the bearish scenario would be more of a grind, more of just a prolonged kind of chop and grind this time.
Well, appreciate you breaking this down for us, Christopher. Yeah, the infamous brown bottom for back in 99, which did mark a low. Well, the other thing that's interesting is what we've seen recently is what's happened in silver. Unlike what happened in that last bear market, like you mentioned, when things broke down in 2013, silver was falling apart just like gold, as were the mining stocks. And what we've seen really in September was early September, silver bottomed first while gold was still going down and making lower lows. And it kind of had a little mini short squeeze, ratcheted up over 19, has recently got back up above that 2141 level that was tagged three or four times last year, got up to 22, has now rolled back over again and is below 21 again. But it rallied first, and then the miners in late September started rallying. And again, both those things were happening while gold still went down and actually made a new lower low just in the earlier this month. November the 4th, gold futures got down to 1618 briefly intraday, while the miners and the silver prices were still holding their own. Do you see that as kind of a non-confirmation bottom for the metals and the miners in relation to gold?
Over the short term, it certainly was. That's a good observation. And those are the kinds of signals that I think are appropriate for short-term traders into the last low. And there's nothing wrong with holding, by the way, a core position in bullion and some miners, and then having a trading account that you go either long or short on shorter term timeframes. That's something that I do personally as well. So I think that was a good call, Shad, on the short term signal that has set up here over the last few weeks. When we look at silver, though, from more of the intermediate term, it's still in this broad, gently sloping downward structure from the peak of the entire move out of the coronavirus lows. It peaked just above $30 back in January of 2021. It's still in this very broadly, slightly expanding, grinding move lower. And the upper boundary of that decline for silver right now as we are speaking comes at $25.30, so it's still a little ways away. There is a first resistance pivot that I'm looking right at $22.50. So if silver can eclipse $22.50, I think it has a shot for, let's say, like a $3 move up to just above the 25 level. I think that could be a tradable bounce above 22.50. But it's really going to take a move above the 25.30 level, as we are speaking, to show me that the recent outperformance and the recent bottom that you mentioned is more of a long-term bottom.
Christopher, let's also tie this into currencies then, because a lot of eyes have been on the U.S. dollar, as the U.S. dollar was moving aggressively higher. This month has been a tough time for the dollar, but even today we are seeing it rebound. What, in your eyes, has been the impact of the dollar on the metals? And big picture, currency-wise, where do you think we stand?
Yeah, and this all relates back to the bond market. So if I could just take an interlude and just refresh listeners' minds, that the driving force behind everything that we've seen in the markets for the last 12 months or so, 12 to 18 months, has been the decline in bond prices or the rise in interest rates. And not just a nominal change there in the bond prices, but just for a backdrop, the bond market was in a bull market from the year 1981 through just earlier in this year. The actual peak was in 2020, but as long as the structure remained intact, it was still in a bull market. So we'll call that like a 41-year, at least a four-decade bull market in bonds. And that broke. That bull market has been severed here just a little less than 12 months ago. So we've had quite a rise in interest rates and decline in bond prices. And a lot of people are trying to say, well, this is the end. You know, the Fed is nearing a pivot. The worst is behind us. I say, uh-uh. When you have a four-decade rising trend that breaks, you could very easily be setting up for something just as long on the opposite direction. So, I mean, we could have just seen here over the last 18 months only the first wave lower in bonds or the first wave higher in interest rates of a secular cycle that's going to last for at least guys that are in, let's say, our age brackets, the rest of our lives, plus or minus a few years, perhaps. And so I think that very few investors have any sense of what it's going to be like to invest, let's say, for a period of several decades with falling bond prices. We just have very little experience with that. And so the flip side of that, ironically, is that as bond prices have been falling and interest rates rising, you've seen almost a Pavlovian reaction for safety into the US dollar. So it's basically like investors are saying, we don't want dollars in the future, which are bonds, but we do want dollars right now. And so this reaction has been going on here for the last 12 months. And it's actually caused, I mean, we're throwing around these 40-year trends like it's nothing. But I'm not joking, you guys. We've seen multiple 40-year, four-decade trends break here just over the last 12 months. The other one to break is the Euro-USD cross pair. And that thing has broken down in disfavor of the euro from a similar 40-year trend. So that's basically a breakout in favor of the dollar, which argues, even though we've seen here a bit of a counter-trend rally in the euro from about 95 cents, you know, the dollar had exceeded parity with the euro, so 95 up to about 102 where we are today. So we've had a bit of a counter-trend rally for the euro. That break down in the euro, or conversely break upward in the dollar from a 40-year trend, argues that after this counter trend rally, there should be significant further strength to come in the US dollar. Again, I mean, lasting at bare minimum through the rest of the 2020s, but quite possibly well into the 2030s or beyond. That's simply what the charts say. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that gold and precious metals have to decline the entire time. There are periods of time from history where the dollar rises and gold rises simultaneously. But during certain periods, that will act as a headwind against the precious metals. And it'll be very interesting to see if that headwind somehow coincides with a breakout in what we were originally talking about at the very beginning, that Dow to gold ratio. That would sort of tell me that it's going to be just the right amount of inflation where industry does well, where monetary concerns are not the foremost set of concerns in the market's consciousness. And if that's the case, then perhaps we're looking at a dollar that is gaining value relative to other world currencies, but generally speaking, where the industrial wheels of the world are actually turning quite healthily over the next 1 to 2 decades. And you know what, guys? That's not such a bad world to live in. I actually think that's a pretty decent world to live in. We can still have a core holding in precious metals as the emergency, as the savings fund, right? And that'll always bail us out if worst comes to worst. But I would argue the setup that we're looking at here, what looks to be the case, is that after this bout of inflation is over, things are going to be, generally speaking, favorable for progress, for human progress to emerge. Not all at one moment. There are going to be depressions and recessions in the middle of that. There is going to be corruption. There's going to be central banks printing money, you know, to bail out X, Y, or Z. There are going to be wars. It's certainly not going to be all rosy. But despite that, I think the message that's trying to emerge here from my total take on the markets is that human progress is looking to march forward here over the next couple of decades.
Christopher, I think that's just a fascinating outlook on things and an interesting takeaway from the trends that we're seeing, major macro trends in the bonds, in the currencies, in the precious metals, in the Dow. I guess sewing this together then, I had put out a thesis that when the money moved out of the bond market, and a lot of people thought the same thing, that some of it would go into the safe haven of gold. But to your point, instead, it's really piled into the U.S. dollar in a way we haven't seen. So I guess wrap us up with, are you expecting as more money continues to flow out of the bond market that it'll continue to seek either the equity markets or the dollar more so than the precious metals? Is that how you're viewing things, at least based on the way things are set up currently?
It's definitely going to be flowing into the dollar, into the U.S. dollar. So it's out of dollars in the long run, into dollars in the short run, as far as dollar versus any other of the freely trading currencies. And then when this most intense part of the flight out of the bond market is over, when there's some more relative stability, that could be in 2023, my prediction is no later than the first half of 2024, when there's some relative stability in the bond market, yes, it'll still be in a declining trend perhaps for some decades, but let's say not so catastrophically declining as it has been here for the last 18 months. When we see that relative stability in the bond market, I think that's when the market's going to make its choice between Dow or gold. When we get that stability, it's going to give the markets a chance to say, hey, how bad is the state of affairs here in the world really? Do we need to favor precious metals, or is industry going to be okay? And then I think we see either that breakout or that breakdown in the Dow to gold ratio. And that sets us up for at least a decade of a theme here for investors as to which one to favor. And I think we'll have that answer late 2023, early 2024, to be totally upfront with you, Shad.
What an interesting time we are in, hey, and just seeing some of these multi-decade long trends being broken, it is noteworthy. And as you said, Christopher, when you have trends that last that long and they go the other direction, they usually last a very long time on that other direction as well. Christopher, great chatting with you. So interesting hearing about what you're viewing in some of these charts, and again, for the big picture, longer-term investors out there. Thanks again for your time, Christopher. Hope you have a great rest of your week and a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll get you back on the show again soon.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone in the U.S.